White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 799.
Hey, this is Stan White, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
The portal giveth, and the portal taketh away. Spring comings and goings on the AU Wishbone next!
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn! From
the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
I'm well, Van. How are you?
I'm good. I am your host, Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we've made it through A-Day, and we are now coming up on another of what we call these portal periods. So let's go ahead and remind everybody what's coming here. Yeah, there it is. People coming, people going. One door opens, another door closes. One door closes, another opens. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit. We've got players coming, players going, both in football and in basketball. And we got a lot going on. We'll see. We're going to talk about. But, of course, first up, before we do... Hello? Yes, somebody's knocking on my ceiling. Before we do anything else...
of fire.
Yes, it's the Auburn Fun Meter. It's our weekly look at how much fun on a scale of 0 to 10 it is to be an Auburn fan this week. This week. And I'm not sure. I mean, we had a big commitment during the week. We had a few other things happen. There's been some comings and goings. Where are you right now?
It's a difficult week because we had football season and then we had basketball season. It's the first Fun Meter in a while, I think, where we didn't actually have a game to respond to.
Or even A-Day.
A-Day is a little bit of a game, but it's the first one where with nothing other than just off-the-field stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So here we are. We did have some positive news on that front, a little bit of negative news, but a lot of positive news. So I'm going to say I'm a 7.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm... I guess about 6.5, 7 sounds okay to me.
That's fair.
Not a lot going on, really, in terms of big, exciting things, but we did get a 4-star offensive tackle commitment, and, I mean, that alone is occasion for vast celebrations and rolling the trees at Toomer.
2 years ago, that would have been a 10.
Yes, yeah. Well, 2 years ago, getting anybody pretty much would have been a 10.
Right. But I mean, like 3 or 4 years ago, getting an offensive tackle would have been a 10.
We'd all had a heart attack. We wouldn't have seen the 2024 season. We'd all have fallen over dead in shock from getting an offensive tackle out of high school, which I don't understand why that was a thing, but it was. So what do we know? This is a 4-star offensive tackle from Mobile, which has historically been kind of an Alabama pipeline city, at least. What do we know?
Well, this is Carde Smith, is his name. He goes to Williamson, okay? And Williamson is, I believe, coached by a former Auburn player.
Ah, okay.
I think, again, a 4-star offensive tackle in state.
Yeah, that is pretty big. Well, it means not only did we get a 4-star offensive tackle, it meant you know who in state did not get a 4-star offensive tackle.
Ding, ding, ding.
Assuming that it stands up and everything. There's a couple of others of note here, and I'm just making a couple of notes about it. We did not get the quarterback on the West Coast that we were been working on for a while. He ended up going to Texas A&M, and apparently he had a pretty good relationship with that staff as they've come in the last few months. And so it wasn't a huge shock. I don't think it was ever considered a slam dunk or anything that we would get in. We were in the running. And I mean, it's good to just be in the running because that's the next step toward winning those kind of contest. You can't win them if you're not even in the running. So it's progress, making steps forward. So I don't remember what his name was. He had a kind of an interesting name. I don't remember exactly. But he ended up, going with Texas A&M. But, I mean, we're pretty well set up with quarterback for the next two or three years. So I'm not panicking. We got more shots.
And I think there's other players they're going to go after. The other one that was the running back that we had, been looking for a long time, committed to Penn State the other day.
Yeah, and that is just so bizarre because they just kind of came out of nowhere and romanced him and pulled him away after he'd visited Auburn a million times and only been like Penn State one time really recently and kind of got bamboozled, I'm afraid, by them. I don't know for sure, but that's kind of how it seemed.
Well, Alvin Henderson, again, they've turned out some good running backs. They've had running backs get drafted, so I think they have a little that to sell there. But I agree, it was kind of surprising. He'd visited Auburn a bunch. I think, listen to some Auburn recruiting people, they think it's a long way from over with it.
Right. So. Yeah, that was the consensus I've been hearing, is that it ain't over, that this could end up being one of those flip back and forth kind of dudes, and that's fine. I mean, the one risk that those kind of players, and it's not a big deal once the season gets going if you do anything good, but the one thing that can happen is that the fans start going, well, who needs him then? Let him go. If he doesn't, if he's playing games or he's switching back and forth or he's not really that interested in us or not committed, then who wants him? And I understand that. And again, then there are other running backs we're looking at too. So, but still, that's two big offensive players for the future that we missed out on, at least initially. And that's disappointing, but we did get the offensive tackle, and there's still room to go. And there's talk of still trying to get, I think, at least a defensive lineman. And from what I understand, they're even still looking at receivers.
Yeah, you're talking about the transfer portal now.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, it's the transfer portal. It all kind of runs together sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, in recruiting, we're still ninth in the country in the 2025 class, which is awesome. And, we're in good shape there. But I think, in terms of the transfer portal, I think we'll start hearing stuff tomorrow or the day you listen to this probably. And we don't know what Auburn players might enter, but I think we're looking at potentially another defensive lineman, a big guy, another kind of plugger, a senior. And we don't want somebody who's going to, we got plenty of young guys, up and coming guys. We need more of a senior veteran guy who can kind of is already physically mature and can stand in there and help stop the run and that kind of stuff. And then, I think if we had the opportunity to get an experienced edge rusher like the guy Elijah McAllister we brought in last year, I think they'd do that. And then receiver, but again, not like we did last year. We took in a lot of small school guys, and I think they don't want to do that again. I think if they took somebody, it would only be a big school player.
Big time guy, big reputation, maybe big, yeah. Yeah, they kind of threw a lot of little darts at the wall last year. And just see if anything stuck, and not a lot of it did. All right. In other big Auburn news, and before we get to basketball, we are about to no longer be an Under Armour school for the first time in decades since 2009 or something. Is that when it?
Yes.
Who did we change over to from?
17 years or something.
Yeah. Was it Russell back then? Have we ever had Nike?
Yes.
I've got an Auburn Nike jacket. It's really old. It's from 2001, but that's the only Nike Auburn thing I have. I had some t-shirts back then that had the Nike thing on them, but I guess we were Russell for a long time. We had maybe Nike very briefly, but we've been Under Armour for an awfully long time. But where are we going?
Going to Nike.
Yeah.
So a serious question for you at the beginning of this. Do you care what apparel company Auburn uses for its athletics?
Yeah, we buy Auburn stuff all the time. I'd love to have a better selection and nice stuff. And yeah, I mean, for sure.
So from the fan apparel perspective, you care. But do you care in terms of Auburn's uniforms and equipment and stuff?
Well, I also care in terms of apparently it really helps, particularly with basketball recruiting, and anything that helps there is certainly a good thing. But also, then there's another factor, which is it's not just a straight up Under Armour always versus Nike always. This is a very specific time where Under Armour is kind of struggling a little bit, And so this is not so much jumping from one ship to another. This is jumping off the sinking ship onto the sailing ship, you know. So there's a lot of levels going on here, and being on a non-sinking ship is a good thing before you even get to, now what do I get off? You know, if you're on the Titanic and you see another boat coming by, before you worry what kind of t-shirts they're selling on the other boat, you make sure you get off the Titanic. You know what I mean?
But what kind of t-shirts do they have, man? I need to know.
Well, I have one on right now, as a matter of fact. Look at that. There's my Under Armour orange Auburn t-shirt. It has the Under Armour logo right there in the middle.
Under Armour product placement in this podcast.
Who thought? Yeah. So, I don't know. Well, what do you think? What's your view on that?
This is what I think. I think in the beginning of the apparel deal, Under Armour was new at doing college apparel. And they especially were new at doing, like, shoes. They did a lot of clothing, but they didn't do a lot of shoes. Right. And I think some of the early shoes we got were not good.
Yeah.
And this is feedback from the athletes, right?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, football, basketball players, other athletes on campus did not like the early editions of the mid-late 2000s Under Armour shoes were not good. Even like 2010-11, people didn't like the shoes.
Right.
And so I think they have gotten better, but I think clearly like Nike is kind of a shoe company that became an apparel company, and they, you know, in terms of cleats and running shoes and stuff, theirs are just better. Yeah. In terms of basketball shoes, theirs are better. I think it's a better quality shoe and more selection. So I think in that sense, from the athlete perspective, it's a good thing. I think the other thing with the basketball recruiting, in the old, I think younger people may not realize this or understand it. In the early days, like the 80s and 90s, early 2000s, the shoe companies really mattered in recruiting, okay? Because they funded the AAU teams, and the AAU teams went to camps run by those shoe companies. So Nike players on Nike teams went to Nike camps, players on Adidas teams went to Adidas camps, and then you met college coaches who had sponsorship deals with those shoe companies, and they could tell the other coaches, you can't come in here, it's as private, only you get to talk to these players and hang out with these players. And they would try to steer, you know, Nike players from Nike AAU teams to Nike schools to the NBA on Nike deals. And the same with Adidas. And so that, you know, was a real thing that mattered in college basketball recruiting and hurt Under Armour, I think, for a while. And then, so in the beginning, you'll remember when we had, you know, famous recruiting guru Tony Barbie, he said, well, we got to get rid of this Under Armour deal. I can't recruit players Under Armour, because he was used to the shoot Nike working with Kentucky and handing them players on a silver platter. So that in the old days, that part did matter. It does not matter nearly as much now. Players go where they want to go and where's good for them, and they're not going to be steered by the shoe companies.
So it has changed some from back when it was just like all imported and we were feeling like we were really messing ourselves up.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know. But so now we change. We wait until it no longer matters, and now we change. Great.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter from that perspective, like which are we going to get a player that we wouldn't have gotten before. But I do think, players seem to like Nike stuff. So,
well, let me say a couple of quick things about Under Armour as we bid them farewell. One, I've actually liked, I haven't loved the apparel, right? I haven't loved the selection of t-shirts and things like that. I know that they were always constrained by Auburn telling them you can't do jerseys of different colors and you can't do this and that and the other. Everything has to be the same and boring and all. And I get all that. Although I really did love when they made the jersey after 2010 that had the two orange stars on it, like it was the World Cup and we'd won two World Cups. You know, I just love that.
What about the shacket?
Yeah, well, the shacket will live forever in infamy. I actually have, I don't have the Chizik shacket. I have the Gus quarter zip short sleeve. You remember the blue Gus Malzahn quarter zip short sleeve, so that it's like a quarter zip except whatever you have on under it sticks out your forearms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that. Mm-hmm. and I just wear a long sleeve t-shirt under it, and it's got, so it'll have that colored sleeves. It's interesting. But what I wanted to mention, though, was the thing I did enjoy from Under Armour, I have a bag I carry around at work, because I go from my office all the way down to where I teach classes, and then for the last 17 years, I've also thrown it in the back of my car and driven down to another campus in Redbud, Illinois, to teach classes there. So I've carried my big binders and textbooks and grading material and USB drives and dry erase markers and grade books and everything. I've carried that stuff around with me for decades. And for the last 15 years, I had like a cheap like leather or vinyl black one that I had brought from Atlanta with me when I moved up here. And as soon as I moved up here, my now wife said, no, you need something better than that. And so the first time we were in Auburn together, like in 2007, we went to J&M, and she pointed to this bag and said, this is what you need. And I'm like, but it's like $50. Now it'd be $250, you know. But she's like, I'm like, it's like $50. She says, no, this is really good. You need this. And so I've got this big navy blue with orange with a big honking AU on the side, and I've been carrying it around for 15 years now, and it hadn't got a scratch on it. It looks like it's brand new. It's so well made. It hadn't come unsewn. It hasn't ripped. And I mean, I put these big heavy binders full of printouts and dividers and PowerPoint printouts and everything and textbooks in that thing and throw it around, throw it in the trunk. And it's lasted 15 years, and it's like it's made out of pig iron. Okay. I also have an Under Armour, and it's Under Armour. I also have an Under Armour backpack. And I carry it around everywhere I go, in the back seat of my car, whatever. It's what I put.
I've seen that one many times.
Oh, yes. You know my backpack. It's got my sunglasses, my wallet, my headphones, whatever I need to carry around, like if I'm at Dragon Con or at Auburn or whatever. Right. It's my big man purse, basically, because it's got everything I need in it, medicine or whatever. You know, it's got everything. Place to put drinks. And I've carried that thing around, thrown it in the back of the car, carried it around for 10 years now, probably hadn't got a scratch on it, looks brand new. So I will give Under Armour credit. The things that they do well, they really did very, very well. Those things are rugged. They haven't faded. They haven't come apart. It's been really remarkable. And then, so I'm looking forward to Nike. I just hope that the Nike stuff won't be $800 a piece and poor quality. The other thing I thought was funny is if you'd asked me to pick our provider, I might have gone with New Balance, because I love New Balance shoes. All my shoes now are New Balance, because they really, I know they're the dad shoes. I don't care. They
fit me. I was going to say, you and I are the target demographic. I have two pairs of New Balance.
You know why? Because they have freaking wide versions. And all my life, I wore 10.5 because that was the only way to get enough room for my toes. And when I discovered New Balance 10 wide instead of 10.5 regular, 10 wide fits my foot like it was sculpted for it. So, yeah, if Nike or somebody wants to make a 10 wide, I'll try it out for sure. But, man, they're nice. Oh, I love the New Balance 10 wide. And I got the...
You're joking. There is a New Balance school.
Oh, there is. What is it?
Boston College.
Oh, wow. Poor Boston College. I'm sure their basketball team's been kicking butt, right, with their 50-year-old point guard and their 60-year-old shooting guard. Right, okay. Well, anyway, so that's my little farewell to Under Armour, just to give them the credit they're absolutely due. But it is going to be cool to have reunited with some of our best players from the past that are very famously associated with Nike, right?
Yeah, Bo and Charles Barkley have lifetime contracts at Nike. They cannot wear Under Armour apparel ever. And so they could not wear Auburn logoed stuff. And now Nike will make Auburn logoed stuff that they can wear in public. And I think that'll be big.
That'll be so good. I can't wait. Yeah. All right. So I know that, let me ask you the last thing about that. So there's been some controversy about it. Some people don't like Nike because of like sweatshops and stuff. And I understand that. Although I don't think Under Armour is probably any better, or anybody else is any better. And some people don't like Nike because of various political stances. What is your feeling on that? Is it just how it goes? What are you going to do? Or,
I mean, people can feel about companies whatever how they feel. I'm not losing a lot of sleep about that stuff. And honestly, like, that wasn't part of the calculation here. It was about who, you know, the other part is this is not like a the core of this deal is not endorsement, like Auburn takes money and we get apparel from that company. Weird, my camera got unplugged. It's not like Auburn, it's just about that part. It's really about providing the uniforms and the shoes for the basketball team, the football team, the baseball team, the softball team, the track team, the soccer team, the equestrian team. Every one of those has to have Auburn uniforms and practice apparel and warm-ups and shoes they can wear at competition and shoes they can wear off the court at competition. And like, you know, and then just like cool stuff to wear around when they're lounging around, like on, you know, on traveling or whatever. So the apparel company has to provide all of that for every athlete to come through Auburn for a 10-year period and then pay us a little bit of money.
And it's okay? A substantial little bit of money too. I mean, this is sure. A big deal.
But I mean, if it wasn't an endorsement thing, we would be paying some company a lot of money to get all of those uniforms and all of those shoes and all of that apparel. So the value of that is a big thing.
And my understanding is that Cohen and company were able to negotiate us a really good deal that's very beneficial, right? I mean, in other words, it's mm-hmm. a good deal, a good contract. So they just
I think
people can boycott or whatever, and that's fine. But just understand, this is a big deal. It's very important. And I kind of have a sneaking suspicion a lot of those people weren't going to buy Nike stuff anyway, whether it was Auburn or not. You know, weren't buying a lot of Nike regardless of whether they were controversial or not. So, but I don't know. We'll see. All right. In basketball news, we lose Aiden Holloway and we lose Trey Donaldson. And we're waiting to find out about Jani Broome, although we're not sure. But we did get big news that Dylan Cardwell is coming back. So that's... I mean, he's gotten better every year, and we love him. He's an emotional part of the team, especially as well as a good backup center. And think about this. With KD Johnson gone, Dylan's going to be like the emotional leader of the team. You know what I mean? He's going to be the most demonstrative guy out there probably.
And, you know, with Jalen Williams gone too, like the veteran on the team of everybody.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. And then while we've lost our three guards in Holloway and Donaldson and KD Johnson, we are bringing in Piggies.
J.P. Piggies.
All right. As a true point guard.
I look forward to a year Van having to say Piggies.
A true point guard, right? A senior, a one-year deal coming in to be the all-business, taking-care-of-business point guard that's going to run the offense, and I'm very excited about that. And that gives our new freshman, that's the big-time freshman, but then so was Aiden Holloway, that gives our big-time freshman coming in, he doesn't have to be the man at point guard like Aiden could have, you know, could have kind of had to be there. He'll be able to play more shooting guard. He'll be able to not have to be the point guard all the time if that's what it had come down to. So I think this is a really big thing.
It's huge, and we needed a veteran, you know, experienced point guard who could kind of control the tempo in a game, keep the team calm, execute, but also somebody that can do what Van's been calling for 2 years and drive to the basket.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's been...
Javon McCormick.
Yeah, it's been since Javon McCormick that we had a point guard that would do that and could do it. And I don't understand. Other than KD, and KD was remarkably good at it considering he wasn't very good at it. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think Pegues can do that. I think he can also shoot and take care of the ball, play defense. I think he's going to be good. I think we're not going to do the 50-50 timeshare point guard.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play 30 minutes and then somebody else will play 10 to 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it's really solidifies that position for us in a way. I think we haven't had an experienced, you know, player with these kind of skills since McCormick. I mean, right. I think we've run through a bunch of younger guys and kind of one-year guys and smaller guys who couldn't do some of these things, and I think it's going to be different a little bit this year with him. So.
I feel like Bruce has just kept looking for Jarrett Harper again, mm-hmm. a little point guard that could do that. And I mean, and they've all had things we've enjoyed. I mean, Wendell Green had his moments and was great. We loved KD. And Trey Donaldson was certainly one we could get behind. Aiden, I think, was just raw and young and needed more time. And I hope he gets, I hope that he blossoms somewhere else. I hope he doesn't do it immediately and make us look bad.
I mean, I genuinely think he's going to go somewhere else and be really, really, really good.
Yeah. But, I mean, when all he would do is either pass or chuck up a long three-pointer, that there are other things you need a point guard to do than those two things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a very safe handler of the ball, no doubt about it, but and a great with assists. But isn't it weird? He led the team in scoring the very first game of the season and then never really scored much again.
Yeah, it was weird.
He probably scored more in that first game than in like any six games combined after that. I don't understand it. I don't understand what changed about him, what they did. I mean, was that the Baylor game? I think it was. Yeah, where he kind of
went
off.
That was the Baylor game in South Dakota or whatever.
Yeah, and he was all over the place scoring, and then he just kind of – it felt like he quit trying.
I think at times, like, I think he tried after for a while after that, and then he wasn't – you know, teams were saying, we're not going to let you shoot from the shots the spots you're comfortable with, and then he was shooting from other spots and missing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he stopped shooting for a while – because he was missing a lot.
Yeah.
And then they had to kind of build him back up.
Yeah, and I think that really hurt his confidence, and he just kind of had a crisis of confidence. And as we always say, and I don't mean this facetiously at all, I wish him nothing but the best. He seemed like a really good kid. Things just kind of got away from him, and he never really got back on track. So I have a feeling that he will. Now, we're still waiting to hear from Jani Broom. Is there anybody else, by the way, that we're waiting to hear from, or is he the only one? He may be the only one.
I think Chris Moore could come back.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
God,
Chris Moore. He's been on the team longer than Jalen Williams, hasn't he? Feels like
since
it.
Since the Eisenhower administration. But
yeah.
I think, Broom coming back will be gigantic, obviously, right?
Well, yes, in more ways than one, yeah.
If he came back, I think he'd be, you know, a preseason All-American, all that kind of stuff. And if he didn't come back, then I think Auburn would go immediately in the transfer portal and get a center. And I think a lot of centers would look at our recent success and be like, I could go there and have do well.
And improve. And yeah, I feel like our guard situation has upgraded to some degree the last 2 years. I felt like Trey and Holloway and KD were a step up from Wendell and KD and Zep. Whoever. I'm sorry?
Zep Jasper.
And Zep. Well, no, Zep was good. Zep was good on defense, but he didn't score a lot. He didn't try. And then I feel like, but Zep was pretty good. And then I feel like these guys, if Pegues is what they say, and if this freshman turns out to be better than Holloway turned out to be, then we've definitely improved. We've gotten better, as Gus would say.
And I think Denver Jones is part of that too, because I think he's better. He's a good scorer, and he's a big defender at shooting guard that is a much better perimeter defender than we've had recently.
And all those guys that just came in last year and were in their first year with us will have some experience with each other and in the system now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if we get Broom back or somebody of similar quality, but especially if we get Broom back with that leadership sort of seniority and everything, this team could do some damage.
Yes.
I mean, they won the SEC tournament with what we had this past year. So imagine if we had better guard play and the same and everything else was relatively the same, but more experienced.
Yep. I agree.
I mean, think about 2018 winning the SEC, but then 2019 going to the Final Four with the same team pretty much.
It's true.
So this year, next year could be go from winning the SEC tournament to doing some damage in the big show. I would really like to see that a lot.
I like it. I like how you think about that.
John, we had a winner. We had a winner. Let me fire up a... We had a... There you go. We had a winner of the NCAA tournament bracket picking contest, and it was pretty much what we expected when we went off the air Monday night a week ago during the game when UConn was slapping down Purdue. So who won?
Larry Keene.
Woo!
Great job, Larry. Did the best job picking and picked UConn, and that put him over the top. But he did better, especially in the early rounds, than a lot of other people did in the bracket. And so congratulations to Larry. Great job. Joins the wall of immortals who have won the Wishbone picking contest.
Yep.
Jared, Boris, and our other recent winners. So thank you all for competing. It was really fun this year. A lot of people, a lot of entries.
Oh, man.
And we're going to delete the records of that so somebody can see how poorly I did.
Yeah, we had a lot of folks play this year, which was fantastic, and we appreciate everybody playing. We hope you had a good time. We certainly did, and we'll go right back at it again in a few months because I feel like it's way more fun when Auburn is competitive and in the tournament and looking to win, and you know, issues of how they play, how it came out this year aside, it was certainly a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to doing it again. Larry, you can step up here to the microphone and say,
whether you like it or not, learn to love it because it's the best thing going today.
Woo! There you go. All right. That's the shout out to Larry for that. There is no Fantasy Formula One update this week because there was no race, but they are in China in a few days. There'll be all the big world tour of Formula One containers, boxes, and airlifted boxes of cars and machinery and all will be descending on China, and there'll be the Chinese Grand Prix for the first time since before COVID. So I guess 2019 mm-hmm. was the last time there was a Chinese Grand Prix. So that'll be cool. The you know Formula One basically tours all of the great auto authoritarian capitals of the world, whether it be Russia, China, the Middle East. You know, they go everywhere that there's a dictator. That goes back to the days when they had, what's his name, was their sole owner, the old dude. And he was tight with Putin, tight with Xi, tight with all the dictators. So he kind of had his world tour. The new group that owns Formula One is an American media company. So, of course, they're starting to pop up races all over the U.S. now. So we got Miami in addition to Texas, and now we got Las Vegas. So it's interesting how they're, it's like cities in America you can go to spend all your money and come home broke, and dictatorial authoritarian regimes. That's pretty much Formula One these days, but that's all right. It's still fun. So,
well, let's have fun out there, kids.
So I did notice that the first time ever book about that we did about in November and December, and it's out now in Amazon and Barnes and Noble and everything. Amazon has the paperback on sale for like $20. It's normally like $24 or something. And the hardcover is normally like $34.95 or something, which I hate that it's that much, but that's just how much it is. I can't help it. I got no control over it. Otherwise we'd be paying you to take it basically after everybody takes their cut. The book business is like cutthroat, the prices. That's why books cost as much as they do. It's not because of the production costs. It's because everybody has a finger in the pie. It's unbelievable. But the paperback was on sale for like $20. The hardcover was on sale for like $32. So you save a couple of bucks either way if you go over there and grab it. And what I really would like for folks to do is if you've read it, see, here's the deal. Usually people buy a book on Amazon and then go back and rate it. But what happened is we sold, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies back last year before Christmas through our own, you know, through the publisher rather than through Amazon. And so people haven't really gone to Amazon to leave reviews. So only five people. I mean, out of all the people that bought this book, I know more than five people read it. Right? So I would really love for mm-hmm. more people to go and leave a review, or at least leave the star rating. Just click the stars, click your little five stars or whatever. And that way it'll make the book more visible. You know, we say the same thing about, you know, it's what people say about YouTube. It's what they say on every podcast. I mean, I get sick of hearing them say, you know, like and subscribe and leave a review. It helps us. But it's true, right? I mean, we appreciate all the reviews and ratings that our podcasts get, and we'd love to have more. And the same for the book. So It's just all those podcasters don't have a book that they're asking you to do this for, too, but we do. So let's see. My Kickstarter's got about a week left on it. So if you want to go in and support, just like the way we did the Auburn books in November, if you want to go in and support and get copies of one or both of my new sci-fi novels, the big deal. I think that the big one is on its way to you. You haven't got it yet, have you?
No.
All right. Well, any day now, it should show up in your mailbox if it'll fit. It's pretty freaking huge. All right. I guess it's time to thank the patrons.
Let's do it.
And I forgot to turn that on. I was thinking about other things. Oh, there we go. If I click on, it's crazy. If I click on this and then I click on this, and then this, hey, Alakazam, there you go. We got to thank. These are the fine folks who keep our program on the air week to week. They are our proud members of the AU Wishbone family that went to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and clicked on the big orange button to become a patron. They include the great Samuel Salvatore, who always reminds us that
tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming,
with pearl white snow and a point guard and hopefully a nice big center that we've already had. We'll see. Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Dr. Crockham, Logan Chilton. When I heard that Rule Britannia was gone, I said,
no!
Anne Pridgen, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, David WDE Sammons Esquire, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Harry Zagger. If Carol Shelby would have seen me on Friday, he would have said,
I don't speak Italian, but he ain't happy.
Man, I love it. I got to see the new Ferrari movie. We saw Ford versus Ferrari. Now there's just a Ferrari movie out. I think Adam Driver playing one of the Ferraris guys, not the cars. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I did see Gran Turismo. Have you seen that?
No, but I've heard.
Yeah, it's okay. If you like race car stories, it's got some cool race scenes in it. A lot of CGI, though. Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor always points out that, something just happened. Oh.
No! 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 I'm devastated! I'm devastated, and they're celebrating right in front of me! This is the worst! This is the worst! No!
And that no is dedicated to John, because just as I clicked it, his camera and microphone disconnected. So I'm currently doing the show solo. Your audio is back. Are you back, John?
I'm back.
Ah, but we can't see you still. You could be doing anything over there. We don't know what you're up to.
I was doing the no, and
you disconnected.
Reenactment, but you couldn't see me.
No. Let's see. Did I say Richard Stevens? Well, Richard Stevens. Starting July 12th, Win Carroll has a message for all the gamers on NCAA Football 24. No, not that one.
I am the only daddy you got. I am the damn paterfamilias.
I'm having a terrible time with the soundboard tonight. I can't see John, and I keep clicking the wrong button. Steve Trawick, Susan.
Maybe you should do the acapella soundboard.
Oh, no. We're not that desperate. We're not that desperate yet. Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Alex Browns, Auburn Football's Elvis, Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Bob W.D. Sammons Esquire, a.k.a. 76 Tiger, Sleazy Shyster, Four!
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage! Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage!
That reminds me, I had one of our patrons, it may have been Bob, or somebody, ask me about being on here twice, and I got to look into that. I forgot to look into that, and I need to remember. So I apologize for not getting back to you if you're listening. I'm going to find that message I got, and I'm going to figure out what's going on. But there's only so much I can usually do with Patreon. A lot of it is controlled by the patrons. I'm not able to go in and affect their accounts in any way. Let's see, but we'll see what I can figure out. Boris for president. What? Chad McDowell, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Daniel Odom, Bobby. Hello, darkness, my old friend. That's probably left over from the NCAA tournament game. H-Town Danny, I like telling dad jokes. Sometimes he even laughs. There it is. Yep. In Home Hugh, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Milton, Mickey B. And our old favorite.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
Please clap.
You know one I haven't used in a while, John?
What?
I don't have facts to back this up.
I just felt like clicking that. I haven't played that in a long time.
That's a good one.
It hadn't come up in a long time.
We need more of that one.
Blame yourself.
That's why I hadn't done it. Blame yourself. We do. No one fights like Gaston. Algo Rhythm and Blues. Paul Miles. Rhodesian Mudflap. Hey, that's the first time I've looked at that and not laughed in like 2 months. But it's still funny. Rich Reimer. Rusty Owen. Steve Harlan. Theodore Gary. Wade Ward. W.D. Ritchie. This One Hurt. Which one was he referring to, do you suppose?
Yale, I think.
Yeah, probably still. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Winston Boddy. This is the year, I can't read this without cracking myself up. This is the year Peyton Thorne has improved so much under this new offense. He's focused. He's having fun. I wouldn't be surprised. Let's go ahead and say, I mean, it is pretty much Peyton Thorne going to be the starting quarterback, right? I mean, that's a done deal.
At the moment.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a done deal. And that's not that that's a bad thing. I mean, I think he can be really good if he has the right pieces around him and the offense is something that everybody's comfortable with, neither of which was necessarily the case in long stretches of last season, I'm afraid, as we all remember, banging our head on the wall with that offense last year. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Charles Mooney, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson. I can't wait for the tournament to start. Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a button. I don't have a button that'll, well.
Wrong!
Yeah, pretty much. Josh Teal, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Mandy Thompson, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams says,
whether you like it or not, learn to love it, because it's the best thing going today.
Woo! Love timing out that woo. Philip Martin, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Walt Austin, Wiggle87, Woody the Jag, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. A few more patrons left. Alex Nguyen, hey, you falling up. Barles Charkley, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson. And finally, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Doug Godfrey. Oh, there's Doug. Doug is on there twice for some reason. I'll figure you out, Doug. Don't worry. Elizabeth Donald, good thing nothing eclipsed your podcast today. I guess that was from last Monday. I'm making a note right now to do customer service on Doug Godfrey on the Wishbone.
We got to get better at celebrating.
I am Tiger, evil HR director of
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
I'm telling you, we got their entire corporate structure represented on our Patreon. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jim McCrory, John, by the way, I'll buy this for a dollar, has been a patron of ours from almost the very, if not the very beginning. And that is why I think of RoboCop at least once every episode we do. Isn't that strange?
That is strange.
It's true, though, because that's from RoboCop. That's that famous line from RoboCop. Jim McCrory, John, and all
look
these years.
Weed every day, is that the famous line from RoboCop? Sorry.
That's what people did after they to go see it. No, it's just funny. I've never thought to mention that in all these years, and every now and then something occurs to me. I go, you know, I've never mentioned that I think of RoboCop every time I get to page 3 here and see that quote from that movie, and I've never mentioned it. James Taylor, Jim McCrory, John Otsuki, John Stubbs, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains. By the way, here's another one. I'm just throwing out these little stories tonight. On every other patron, John, every other patron, I read exactly what it says. But all these years, when I get to Joey Miller, I say Joey Miller. It doesn't say Joey Miller on Patreon. I just say that. It says Joseph A. Miller. I just convert it to Joey Miller every single time. I've done that for how many years now? So we
apologize, Joseph.
I was just about to say, we appreciate you very much, Joey, and then John Bigfoots be with. We apologize, Joseph.
Maybe he wants to be called Joseph.
Maybe he does, but he was when we first started out, and I feel like he was sending us emails or something, and it was always Joey Miller. So I've always just assumed that he, like, registered his account as Joseph A. Miller, and I just kept calling him Joey. And he's never sent me a message like, why do you keep calling me Joey when it says, it clearly says Joseph A. Miller? So I've always said when the day comes that he sends me a message saying, dude, stop making up a name for me, I'll apologize and change it. But until then, he's still Joey Miller to us. So see, all this stuff is coming out tonight, John. I don't know what it is.
Smoke weed every day.
No, it wasn't that. No. But it feels like it. JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, of course, always reminds us.
You have failed me for the last time.
In terms of the barbecue, but that's still a couple of months away, a.k.a. Auburn Dead for Life. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright. Now let's go ahead and hit that button.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
Yeah, that's a pretty bold statement. You know what I mean? It's factual.
It's not. It's not factual at all. Kathy has tons of friends. Come on now. Come on.
No, wait. Come on, man.
It is. Yeah, it was Eric Musselman. The
Cal head coach, Eric Musselman.
I actually have a Southern Cal coach quote on the soundboard now. How about that? That's interesting. And all you can say is...
Then so be it.
Yeah, so there you go. New York Tiger feels confident about overtime games now that Auburn will have a tie buster on the team. Yeah! Paul Banks and Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Southern. I feel like I said, and finally, about 10 minutes ago, Spanky, I'm at the bottom of this list because...
Scott Wilson!
Tap for while you can, the monkey boy.
And when I time that one out, I always listen for that last God wills it. And if you've seen the movie, the last God wills it is Guy de Lusignan, the villain. So you can like time it out to know exactly when to hit the...
Not for while you can, the monkey boy.
It's right after Guy says the God wills it at the end. So, Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, Steve Bailey, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors, we thank you all. And now, let me get back over to the... I don't have the Guess the Game ready, so let's go ahead and...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
So let's go ahead and do this, and I'll be downloading the Wachihiki while we're doing that.
All right. We only have one listener question tonight. So
I better hurry then.
But I'm going to say, I'm challenging you, the listeners. Give us some questions. We're in the off season now. So if you have what I would consider off season questions about, you know, Van and I's thoughts about other stuff or past teams or, you know, whatever you think an appropriate off season topic question is, we're good for those too. So, our question is from Rusty Owens, and the title is Just Do It. And he says, guys, I know you have probably already discussed this, but something happened since the last show where Auburn announced a partnership with Nike. While I'm glad this finally happened, I think the age of NIL has minimized the effect this deal will have. Since you have already discussed the particulars of the deal, let me ask a question for you two. What potential ad campaign would get you most excited about this new arrangement? Thanks, and War Eagle, Rusty Owens. I have an answer for this, a definitive answer.
All right, let's hear it. Do it.
I want Nike to bring back the Bow Knows campaign.
Yes.
And have a Bow Knows Auburn-related, like they have the Michael Jordan Jumpman logo for some select schools in North Carolina and stuff. I would love like a Nike-specific Bow Knows logo with Bo Jackson, you know, running and, you know, and maybe even carrying a bat too. Mm. And I think that would be very cool. And I think they could do some really cool commercials with him doing, you know, wacky stuff or whatever. And then, but then also have it be like an Auburn thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I mean, I would just love to see a series of commercials. I mean, Barkley pretty much dominates commercials during sporting events now, right? He's got the Capital One thing where, it's basically the Capital One superhero cinematic universe where it's him and Spike Lee, who never really does anything anymore in those commercials, and Samuel Jackson and Jim Nance, I guess.
Yes, now.
It's the four of them. And then Jennifer Garner. It's a strange collection of individuals, but that's like the Avengers of Capital One, isn't it? They've all come together as a team, and it's leads to some very strange commercials. But it's just good to see them together. But you just know they consider that like the Avengers of Capital One. But I would love to see Charles and Bo doing some kind of commercial series like that with the two of them and maybe guest stars. I think that would be really fun. And somebody was pointing out, in fact, that it might have been there might have been a reason why why Cam wasn't in my Nissan Heisman House ad might have had something to do with Nike or some kind of rights thing. I'm not really sure why they couldn't use him, but I don't know. But anyway, so I'd love to see the two of them. Does Cam have a Nike deal or anything like that?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You'd think he had something, at least for
I'm sure he had a deal with somebody, but I don't know.
Whatever happened to Reebok? Reebok was a big deal when we were in high school and college. Did they just fall off the earth or something?
Pretty much.
I always liked their stuff way better than Adidas. I never liked Adidas. The only reason I ever buy Adidas anything.
How about Puma?
Puma. All right, I was going to say, the only time I ever buy Adidas is when they are the sponsor or the manufacturer of a soccer jersey I want. So I've got some Argentina and it's mostly Argentina, honestly, soccer jerseys that are Adidas. Puma, I've got some Italian jerseys that are Puma. Nike and Puma both have done Italian jerseys, and I've got some of those. It's because it's the same way in international soccer as it is in, you know, in football with Nike and everything, is that half the teams have Adidas and half of them have Nike. And nobody has Under Armour, I promise you that.
All right, while we were talking, I looked up the top brands in the world by footwear. Are you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to give you the dollar value of their market share and then the name of the company, okay? I want you to guess who the top four are.
Globally, I mean, Nike and Adidas globally are probably right close together.
They're 1-2.
Nike and then Adidas?
Yes.
So Nike's American, Adidas is German, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's right. And I think they pronounce it Adidas or something, but we pronounce it Adidas. After that, I have no idea who's third and fourth.
Number three is Skechers. You could be a Skechers school.
Wow.
Number four is Puma.
Okay.
Number five is Asics.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Number six is Converse.
Converse. There they
are. Taylors.
Yeah.
And number seven is Under Armour.
Good God. No wonder we're... If Skechers and Asics are dominating you in sales globally, you probably need to go ahead and stop.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Asics.
The other two companies right there are Vans and New Balance, and New Balance is privately owned, not a publicly traded company, so it's tough to get data on them.
Okay. At what point does their balance no longer be new and is considered like old balance?
Deep thoughts with Vans Lexicon.
All right.
Is it guess the game time?
Yeah, let's do it. I got it downloaded from Jared's email that I forgot to download before. Here we go.
Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 120. Guess the Game 120 is brought to you by Brian Dupree. And Brian Sinden's going to lead to something a little interesting. Brian sent me a video with a bunch of highlights from a particular game. But the problem was there was no commentary on them. It was just plays without commentary, and clearly you wouldn't get much from that. But what it also included was some post-game interviews after the win. And I thought, well, this could be fun. So for this Guess the Game, gentlemen, I am going to play some snippets of post-game interview. And as usual, I would like you guys to try to identify the year and who it was we just defeated. That could be pretty tough. But to add a little more fun, I wonder if you can identify the three Auburn Tigers that you hear in this post-game interview. So, the usual year, who we just defeated, and then for extra bonus, the three Tigers that are on this post-game interview.
Right. Let's give this a listen.
I like it. Let's see it.
We've had to come over some adversity this year. You know, we lost Bo Jackson earlier in the season. Then we lost Steve Wallace, ding, 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 our big left tackle last week. And now, you know, a Pat comes up with a hamstring injury. So you figure you lose one of your best running backs and, you know, your starting left tackle, and then you lose your starting quarterback. You know, the team's either got to, you know, come together or either it's going to fold. And we came together today. I think it's a very exciting feeling for me.
And then they come back and they run the corner route, and Clayton was coming in. He said, "I'll be there throwing." And I threw it, and he was there.
I told Jeff to just, like, put it out there anyway, and I was going to try to run a good route. And I knew if I could, like, get the defender off just a little bit and the ball was out there, I could go get it. And that's exactly what happened. He put it out there. And
nice to know you got three quarterbacks you can count on, right?
Yeah.
All right, guys, you may notice there was no bleeps in it, so I will still provide a hip file if you want to give it a second listen, and I'll see you there.
All right, I know exactly who the first person that spoke was.
So let's discuss the clues first. They referenced Bo Jackson injury.
84.
Pat Washington injury. A center injury.
Well, now hold on a minute. Now, I was confused because the first person they interviewed was clearly Randy Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
But he played 82 and 83. Pat Washington was a quarterback 84, 85. They mentioned Jeff, which I thought was Jeff Berger, who played...
No. He was like 87, 88.
He was 84, 85, 86, 87. But 86 and 87 were his two starting years. It's kind of all over the place.
Well, I mean, was there a game in 83 where Bo got banged up?
I mean, I feel like his injuries were 84 when he had the separated shoulder. And then 85, he had the ribs and the knee late in the season before he won the Heisman.
And Rick Campbell wasn't there in 84?
No, it was Pat Washington in 84, emerging from the battle. 84 and 85, we had a quarterback battle that lasted into the season. And Pat Dye later said he should have just made Pat Washington the starter from the beginning, but he kept trying to get Berger and Walden and a couple of other quarterbacks going. Now, that sounded like a receiver, didn't it? The last person that talked?
The last person was a receiver. The middle person was a defensive back, I feel like, or a linebacker.
Okay. I was going to say the only receiver I can think of that might have been saying anything early on like that would be Chris Woods. Maybe okay. Clayton Buford, but probably Chris Woods. You know, then you get to our bigger receivers like Freddie Wagan and all, but that sounded more like Chris Woods. See, let's go to the hint file. He said it's not going to be much different, so maybe it's just going to be the same thing over again, but it wouldn't hurt at this point.
Gentlemen, we are in the hint file. Let's give this a listen one more time. What's the year? What's the opponent? And who are the three Auburn Tigers in the post-game interview?
We've had to come over some adversity this year. You know, we lost Bo Jackson earlier in the season. Then we lost Steve Wallace, you know, our big left tackle last week. And now, you know, a Pat comes up with a hamstring injury. So you figure you lose one of your best running backs and, you know, your starting left tackle, and then you lose your starting quarterback. You know, the team's either got to, you know, come together or either it's going to fold. And we came together today. I think it's a very exciting feeling for me.
And then they come back and they run the corner route, and Clayton was coming in. He said, "I'll be there throwing." And I threw it, and he was there.
I told Jeff to just, like, put it out there anyway, and I was going to try to run a good route. Okay. And I knew if I could, like, get the defender off just a little bit and the ball was out there, I could go get it. And that's exactly what happened. He put it out there.
Nice to know you got three quarterbacks you can count on, right?
Yeah.
All right, guys, I'll see you in the answer file.
All right, I was wrong. It wasn't Randy Campbell at the beginning. It sounded like him. Maybe he's from the person at the beginning was saying we lost our starting quarterback, Pat Washington. And we'd already lost the offensive lineman, and we'd already lost Bo. So I'm going to say that the second person was Jeff Berger, who probably stepped in for Washington as like a freshman or a sophomore. So this could this be Florida State 84?
Could be. But do you think Chris Woods was the third guy? Who do we think the first guy was then? That Walden guy?
Yeah, I don't know. He sounded pretty country.
Yes.
That's why I thought he was Randy Campbell. I'm going to do it one more time. What the heck?
Gentlemen, we are in the hint file. Let's give this a listen one more time. What's the year? What's the opponent? And who are the three Auburn Tigers in the post-game interview?
We've had some we've had to come over some adversity this year. You know, we lost Bo Jackson earlier in the season. Then we lost Steve Wallace, you know, our big left tackle last week. And now, you know, a Pat comes up with a hamstring injury. So you figure you lose one of your best running backs and, you know, your starting left tackle, and then you lose your starting quarterback. You know, the team's either got to, you know, come together or either it's going to fold. And we came together today. I think it's a very exciting feeling for me.
And then they come back and they run the corner route, and Clayton was coming in. He said, "I'll be there." Throw it. I threw it, and he was there.
I told Jeff to just, like, put it out there anyway.
So that's Clayton.
And I was going to try to run a good route. And I knew if I could, like, get the defender off just a little bit and the ball was out there, I could go get it. And that's exactly what happened. He put it out there.
Nice to know you got three quarterbacks you can count on, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the
Snow it did.
Yeah, it was Phil. We know Phil Snow. So the second person.
I was going to say the fourth voice was Phil Snow.
Yeah, good call on that. The second person is Jeff Berger, I think. The third person is Clayton Buford.
I think the first person is not a quarterback. Right. I think he's a team leader playing another position.
I agree.
So I'm thinking of, I mean, was Greg Carr still on the team then?
Could be. That's a good call. Yep. Could be Greg Carr.
So I'm going to say Greg Carr was the first guy.
Could be. I can't remember when his last year was.
I can't remember if he was in 83, 84.
Yeah, 83, 84, somewhere in there. And the game, I mean, you know, they just lost those players, and then they pulled together and they won. It could be any one of those six games after Bo got hurt, because we went 6-0 in 84 after Bo got hurt.
That's it.
So, Florida State, there's probably a Mississippi State in there, don't you think? I think we beat Ole Miss with Fullwood having a big game, maybe. It's only been 40 years, John. I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. But I feel like Fullwood had a big game against Ole Miss. I know we had a big game against Florida State. It's, I mean, maybe one of those. I'm not going to get close.
Let's go Florida State. I liked your initial feeling there.
So Greg Carr, Jeff Berger, Clayton Buford, Florida State, 84. Let's hear the answer.
All right, John Vandermeer. If you guys figured out that this is 1984 and we have just defeated Georgia Tech, and the three post-game interviews in order are Mike Mann, Jeff Berger, and Clayton Buford, then you win. I know this one was a little different, but I thought, you know what? Why not have a little fun with what Brian Dupree sent in?
If you'd
like to be like Brian and send in a suggestion for Guess the Game, you can find me at Yard Sale Artist on X and Facebook and Instagram, or you can email me at Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. And oh, by the way, I thought this post-game interview was particularly interesting since they're talking about playing multiple quarterbacks. Seems like that's still in the air, isn't it? Anyway, until next time, War Eagle.
So, first we got to say that I thought that was really good. Good job by Jared.
That was a tough one. That was good. Yeah.
Good job coming up with a different format, keeping us on our toes. That was a lot of fun. But I got to say this, John. We were wrong and then back wrong again. That first person was a quarterback. It was Mike Mann, who's most famous for being the holder on Al Del Greco's Sugar Bowl field goal in 83. He was the backup quarterback who actually, I believe, started the first game of the 84 season against Miami in the kickoff classic.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you crack open We Believed to the 84 season, I think you will read that. And guess what else that really makes me kick myself for not getting Mike Mann? Where did Mike Mann go to high school?
Sylacauga,
Alabama. He's an Aggie. Yep. He was in high school with my brothers. Probably not my sister, but my brothers. Yeah. So he graduated Sylacauga probably like around 81, 82, somewhere in there. So I didn't get there until 82. So he was already long gone by then. Because he was a senior in 80. So 1, 2, 3. Yeah, he probably graduated like 80 or something. So yeah, he was long gone before I got there by a couple of years. But So... yeah, that was really good, but it's frustrating.
But you should have recognized his voice, is that what we're saying?
Oh gosh, it was fun though when we were doing We Believed, and I went back and was reading and watching video on the 84 Miami game. I'd forgotten that Mike Mann actually was the starting quarterback at the beginning of the 84 season, and then got pulled out in favor of Pat Washington, who I mean, was a better athlete, obviously.
Yes, you know, and a better quarterback.
He was, yeah. He should have been. And Pat Dye later admitted that. All right, so we did guess the game. We did listener questions, so... Coming up, we have Around the SEC. But once again, I'm going to use this opportunity of the worst coaches in the world to segue into that segment by pointing out that one of the coaches we're going to be talking about tonight is the former Kentucky coach who pulled a Bill Curry and left one step ahead of the posse. Good old Cal, John Calipari, took off for Arkansas, where he gets to start all over fresh again, and Arkansas doesn't have to pay a blessed cent of buyout for the $30 million buyout that he had. And they get Calipari anyway, and Kentucky's like, oh no, don't take our coach. Kentucky's like, oh no, oh no, they've taken our coach.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
So we're going to just go ahead and segue right over on in then to...
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
That's some slick editing right there, and that wasn't even editing. That was like live. Very nice. I was doing that live. All right.
Very nice.
Thank you, thank you. So we've got we have a new Kentucky basketball coach. They burned the white straw and the white they burned the wet straw, and the white smoke came out of Lexington, heralding that they had a new pope. Kentucky has a new pope, John.
Uh-oh. But is it an Avignon pope kind of situation or?
That's such a great. Oh, I love it. Well done, my friend. That was very good. John pulls out the Avignon Pope. I guess the Babylonian captivity. Oh my goodness. I think we're going to find out. You've often compared, and in fact, right here, you've often compared Kentucky basketball and Alabama football. And I think that both of them are currently going through a similar phase, aren't they? Where they don't know who they've got.
That's right. Well, and I think Kentucky basketball, Alabama football, and Texas A&M football, I think all the searches are comparable.
Yeah.
Because they all thought, we're going to go get somebody better. We're going to go get the best coach in the country. We're going to get, and every coach in the country will crawl over glass to be our coach here. We will pay whatever we have to pay. We can get any coach in America. We're going to get a national championship level coach. And like Texas A&M football thought they were going to get a sitting NFL head coach, you know, or steal like the coach from Ohio State or something. Okay. And then Alabama thought they were going to get like, you know, national championship coaches in retirement or, you know, some other coach from some top school in the country. And then they ended up getting the guy Washington, who none of them would have had on their board in the top 20 before the season.
No.
None of them.
No.
And then Kentucky basketball thought they were going to – I mean, they thought they were going to get Dan Hurley, the guy who just won two national titles at Connecticut. They really legitimately thought they were going to hire that guy.
Mm-hmm. And or like, they were going to pull the Florida guy out of the NBA.
No, and then they were going to get Bobby
Donovan. I mean,
Billy Donovan.
Yeah,
Bobby Billy Donovan, the Florida coach who won two national titles and is now in the NBA. Mm-hmm. They thought they were going to get him. That's the other guy they really wanted, and he was like, no. And then they thought they were going to get Scott Drew from Baylor or the Alabama coach. And they were both kind of like new. I mean, I think supposedly the Baylor coach was interested, But his family was like, these people are crazy.
Yeah.
And we got a good situation here. You won a national title a couple years ago. You're fine. But I also think, like the Alabama coaching search, everybody used the Kentucky coaching search to get a raise.
Yeah, sure.
And they were like, oh, they want me. You better pay me a bunch more money.
Am I crazy, though? I thought Nate Oates would go to Kentucky if he had the opportunity. I'm really surprised that did he have the opportunity?
Debatable, right? He said, you know, online, like, he's like, no. I listened to an interview with a Kentucky, you know, insider person on the other day, and they said, you know, Oates wanted the job and would have taken the job if they offered it to him.
I would have thought so.
I mean, here's the other thing. Now that you're sitting down, I'm going to say this. Like, on a lot of the list, Pearl was a candidate.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of Kentucky people on Twitter were saying, just hire Bruce Pearl. Absolutely. They were saying that.
I mean, if you're talking about
maximize
resources.
Yes.
And
yes.
Play – but because the big thing with Kyle Pari was he got talent, but then, you know, kind of stopped using the talent effectively and kind of got out coached a lot. But also kind of, you know, kind of became a dictator there and wasn't, you know, I think there's a real thing when coaches are on the way up, they're kind of hungry and but also they're willing to adapt. And then I think once you have a bunch of success, then you become kind of solidified in your ways. You don't want to adapt. So, I mean, to me, Kyle Pari is Jimbo Fisher. I mean, I think he 100% he is Jimbo. Jimbo Fisher was already on the way down at Florida State when he left and went to A&M. And then he was kind of continued to be who he was. And I think Kyle Pari is the same. I think he's already on the way down to Kentucky and they see it. And I think it's a lot like last year, the Florida basketball coach went to Georgia and Georgia was happy and Florida was relieved because they didn't have to pay the buyout and they went and got Todd Golden and upgraded. Now, did Kentucky upgrade because they went on this big search and talked about all these big names and then they hired Mark Pope?
Yeah, I'd never heard of him.
Okay, so, well, you have heard of him because he played at Kentucky in 95-96. So you've seen him play.
Oh, well, in that case, slam dunk, John.
But he was also the basketball coach at BYU.
Noted power.
For the last couple of years. It took him to 20 straight win seasons, and they've been to three NCAA tournament teams. So.
Well, I just it struck me as having all the earmarks of the Alabama football coaching search, which is we think we're up here, so we should be able to hire anybody we want, and we are shocked when anybody we want doesn't want to come. And then we have to settle, and then we have to sell it to the public that, oh, that's who we wanted all along anyway. So this isn't
that's
selling.
Right. We got rid of Kyle Pari. I mean, Kyle Pari came back to Kentucky and said, do you want to match the offer? And they were like, no, thank you. And so,
but you haven't even heard what the offer was yet. No, it's okay. We're good.
Because they saved whatever the $35 million buyout by letting him go.
Oh, yeah.
And then they could go hire somebody else. But
oh, it's a dream come true for Kentucky. Absolutely.
I mean, Pope is 51, so he's not, you know, a young coach, but he's a younger coach than a lot of these other guys we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, is he on the way up? Is he a guy that's, you know, I think they could sell it because he's a Kentucky guy.
Yeah, that's 100%. If he wasn't a Kentucky guy and they hired him, random dude from BYU, are you kidding? Yeah. They'd be riding in the streets. I haven't had a chance to talk to my coworker that's the big Kentucky guy this week yet, obviously Monday. This is just Monday. I haven't seen him. But I'm anxious to corner him and say, well, what are you thinking now? Is this what you really thought was going to happen? That you ended up with DeBoer from Washington? Oh, wait. Hold on a minute. All right, let me try that again. Were you expecting to end up with DeBoer from Washington? I mean Pope from BYU.
I ran into an Arkansas fan this weekend, and he and I were talking, and I said, hey, you know, how do you feel about the new coach? I'm not giving you a hard time. I just want to know. And he was like, yeah, he didn't love it. He thought the Jimbo Fisher analogy was really good. He thought that's kind of who he was at this stage. But he did feel like it was time for a change with Musselman. He felt like Musselman had kind of lost the locker room the last couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Really underachieved. So.
That's interesting, because I thought they were just all riding high at Arkansas, thinking that they had a one down year, but otherwise they were, you know, big time now.
I mean, I think they feel like last year they had a lot more talent than they achieved.
Okay.
They got hot and won a couple of games in the tournament, but I think overall they felt like that team could have done a lot more.
Yeah.
And this year was they didn't do much. So.
Oh, well. All right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, and I was going to say, along very, very similar lines while we're talking about other SEC news, is it Joe Goodman at AL.com that's the Alabama columnist guy? He's an Alabama guy, and he's written a book about Alabama. That's fine. We've written books about Auburn. They don't hate, you know, he doesn't have to hate us, and we don't hate him. I think he's actually a pretty sharp guy, and I enjoy his columns a lot of the time. And he's usually pretty even-handed, too. And he had one that apparently got all the Bammers all fired up and riled up, where he was saying something like, it's one of those things where he told the truth and they were mad at him, but also agreeing with him, but mad at him for saying it. You got to love when that's the reaction, right? That's just, you can't do anything with that. Because apparently, apparently he said that at the A-Day game in Alabama, he described Saban as like a tyrant in the past. And the players were kind of saying that he was very militant and demanding, and saying that that DeBoer is more of a friendly guy, more of a player's coach, closer to the players and more friendly. And all the Alabama people were coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, no, this is terrible. That's not how you win. You can't win by being nice. And if Saban had been nice to the players, we wouldn't have won anything. And, oh, there went all our national championships and all. And I was just enjoying watching them melt down, basically. It was beautiful. So if you get a chance to check that out, it's pretty funny.
You always try to hire the opposite of what you just had. So the idea of hiring.
Yeah, hiring a guy that. Saban. Yeah, so. All right. Well, I guess that's it for tonight. Any final thoughts?
Enjoy the off season.
Yeah.
Get out there. Get some fresh air.
I sent you a message, in fact, about a couple of ideas for at least one person to try to talk to.
I saw it. I'm working on it.
I haven't checked in, so I haven't seen if you replied. So, all right. So maybe we'll have a few surprises for you guys coming up here in the rest of April and May and June before we get to sort of time to dig out the barbecue again. All right, looking forward to it. Our time is up. Thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.